Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, was conclusion, perfection of renunciation, text number 68. Yaidam paramam guyam, mag bhaktesha vadasyati, bhakti mai param kritva, mami vaishati samshaya. Yaidam paramam guyam, mag bhaktesha vadasyati, bhakti mai param kritva, mamai vaishati samshayaha. Ya, one who, anyone who, idam, this, paramam, who's the translator? Most. Guyam, confidential secret. Mat, of me. Bhakteshu, amongst devotees. Abhidashiti, bhaktim. It's not such a hard word. Let's try it again. Bhaktim. Devotional service. Russian devotional service is predaninoye služenie. Is that also in Slovene? What's that? Well, at least I know a few words in Slovene. Pai, unto me. Param, transcendental. Kritva, doing. Mam, unto me. Eva, certainly. Eshiti, comes. Asamshayaha, without doubt. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. At the end, he'll come back to me. Purport. Generally, it is advised that Bhagavad Gita be discussed amongst the devotees only. For those who are not devotees will understand neither Krishna nor Bhagavad Gita. Those who do not accept Krishna as he is and Bhagavad Gita as it is should not try to explain Bhagavad Gita whimsically and become offenders. Bhagavad Gita should be explained to persons who are ready to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is subject matter for the devotees only and not for philosophical speculators. Anyone, however, who tries sincerely to present Bhagavad Gita as it is, will advance in devotional service and reach the pure devotional state of life. A result of such pure devotion, sure to go back home, back to Godhead. Tasman manusheshu kachin me priyakrita maha bhavitana chetme tasman anyak priyatro puvi. There's no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Adyeshute chama yaimam dharmam sampadam avyo jnana jagnena tenaham ishtak swamiti memati. And I declare he who studies this conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. So one who explains his supreme secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed. So how can it be a secret if it's being explained? In other words, secrets are meant to be kept. So why is Krishna asking Arjuna, telling Arjuna, you should tell these secrets? And what are these secrets? Well, the main secret is that Krishna is God, and that there's a process to experience Krishna, to realize Him, to actually come back to our original relationship with Him. And Krishna says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto, majayaji mam namaskuru, mamai vaishasi satyam te prati jani priyosi me. Is that right? Did I get that one right? Manmana bhava mad bhakto, majayaji mam namaskuru, mamai vaishasi satyam te prati jani priyosi me. That's right. Always think of me. So that's quite a secret, that we should always think about Krishna. Matter of fact, we hear about that all the time. But how many today, throughout the whole day, were thinking about Krishna? Anyone here? Jagannath, were you thinking about Krishna the whole day? So you think about Krishna the whole day? Of course. The rest of us are struggling. So that's the whole idea, is to think about Krishna. Like the gopis, all they were doing the whole day was thinking about Krishna. Of course, along with that, they were churning butter, they're making yogurt, they were making prasadam for Krishna, they were cooking for Krishna, they were making garlands for Krishna. Nothing really strenuous. They weren't planning any war. They weren't building any building. They weren't even fixing a computer. All very simple devotional activities. But it was done out of devotion, thinking about Krishna to please Him. Do we actually think Krishna would be pleased by a computer? What does He need a computer for? If you bought Him a computer, what would He do with it? He already knows everything. He's even the one who manufactured the computer. What is He going to do if you give Him a huge building for His birthday present? He likes to live in the forest. It's much nicer in the forest, where there are a lot of flowers and birds. And what does He need a building for? Although He has nice buildings too. But actually what Krishna wants is bhakti. And bhakti begins with at least thinking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna. If you love something, obviously you're going to think about them. If you think about someone, it doesn't mean necessarily that you love them. There's probably people we think about that we don't love very much. But on the other hand, if we love someone, we'll certainly think about them. So Krishna says we should hear about Him from people who love Him, so we can actually love Him also. Otherwise, we hear from mental speculators and from others who don't like Krishna, then that won't be very productive. And the whole idea, the directive of hearing about it, is that we're supposed to hear in such a way from the right people that we become interested in doing service to Krishna, become His devotee, devote our energies to Him. And then by doing that, then we'll realize to a certain extent how nice Krishna is, and we'll begin to worship Him. And as we worship Him, then we realize even more how nice He is, and that will make us even a little humble. Namaskaru. And if we get that taste, realizing how nice Krishna is, then the other objectives we have, the main ones that people have, usually are they want women or men or who knows what else in Kali Yuga. And they want money, or they want wealth, they want followers. And ultimately, the highest goal in the material world is liberation. Merge in Brahman, for instance. So everyone has these big objectives. Especially the biggest one is to get free from birth, death, old age, and disease. That's quite a big objective. Liberation. But they're considered moksha lagu kriyat for one who's actually on a very high level of Krishna consciousness. That devotional service at the stage of bhava bhakti derives a conception of liberation. But that's quite an elevated platform. So one has to take to sadhana bhakti so that gradually we can rise up to becoming his devotee, worship him, offer obeisances to him. And then gradually these big objectives, women, wealth, money, liberation, they'll gradually seem tuchava, more and more insignificant compared to the happiness of engaging in devotional service. Then one can actually take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, become an instrument for Krishna. Nimitra matram bhavasavasav chin. Preaching about Krishna means to become an instrument. In other words, actual preaching doesn't mean we just tell everyone what to do. Or we tell people exactly what we think for that particular moment. Effective preaching means that we become like the super soul. We know exactly what this, we become an instrument for Krishna, and therefore Krishna says the right thing to the right people at the right time in order to inspire them to hear about Krishna and to become his devotee, etc. In other words, to take to the process on whatever level they're on and to continue on from there and develop up to the platform where they also become a perfect instrument for Krishna and want to spread Krishna consciousness. So real preaching is to take people wherever they're at and then to help them elevate themselves more by becoming an instrument for Krishna. Krishna is in everyone's heart, so he knows exactly what everyone is supposed to hear, when they're supposed to hear, and how they're supposed to hear it in order to make progress in devotional service. So a real preacher is one who's in contact with Krishna and therefore, to the best of his ability, to the best of his surrender, is able to distribute that message to others in such a way as to inspire them to make progress in devotional service and Krishna consciousness. But at least Krishna says that adesha te jayamam dharma samvidam avyam jnana vijnana tenaham ishtak swami iti memati, that one who studies the sacred conversation worships me by his intelligence. In other words, at least if we use our intelligence, then we can make progress. At least out of the modes of material nature. Hearing is the most effective way. Hearing is the one way you can reach everyone. You can only touch so many people. You can only if you speak, so many people hear. And if you write a book, probably more people will hear. But if you speak, then people can't help but hear, unless they're unconscious or they don't want to hear. In other words, even if you write a book, some people will read it and some people won't. But if you speak, then anyone present will generally hear something. So it's not that only books are the most effective, because if you write a book about Krishna, then millions of people might get the opportunity to read it. If it's a good book, like Prabhupada wrote, about Krishna. On the other hand, if you speak, so many people will also hear, and they'll be able to understand, hopefully, what's in the book, according to your understanding of the book. However much you've understood the book, you can convey that message, not only by intellectually, which Krishna says, they worship you by intelligence, but also the potency of how much we followed also has a potency to it. Our sound vibration is also either in the modes of nature or it's transcendental. And that will have an effect. And at least the effect will be on our intelligence. And what is intelligence meant for? To realize we're eternal. If we don't understand we're eternal, then we're not very intelligent. How can we say I'm very intelligent, but I don't even know I'm eternal? What is the value of one's intelligence if one doesn't know one is eternal? And if we're not that intelligent, at least we should be intelligent enough to come, try to come to the platform of becoming eternal again. Because if we, in the Varnashram system, even people are not quite aware of their eternality. But generally they are. In India, even the farmers, they know they're eternal. They know that this is only one of many births. Even the greatest so-called scholar in the Western world, they don't even know that they're not their body. But the farmers in India, they know that they're not their that they're not their body. So who's more intelligent? The farmers in India or the big professors at the university? And not only that, well, the farmers may not perfectly know what the process is, but they'll be willing to chant Hare Krishna and attend spiritual festivals. So that way, even if they don't, they're not familiar completely with what the process of liberation is, and sometimes they're confused about who to worship, and nowadays so many things got mixed up due to the introduction of televisions in India, which spoiled the whole culture to a large extent. Television and movies. And now it's the internet. Television, movies, and the internet were just devices that destroyed people's culture. Started out in, just like in India, when they wanted to introduce drinking tea, no one wanted to drink tea. It's considered very low class to drink tea. So what they did is they advertised it was good for your health. And they set up free tea stands all over India, giving out free tea. And of course, tea is addictive. So they got people addicted to drinking tea and how good it was for their health. Even cigarettes were advertised in the beginning as being good for their health. Doctors would go on the radio, on the television, smoke cigarettes and tell the people how this was going to cure your asthma if you smoke cigarettes. And since the authorities were the doctors, the people believed it. And they started to smoke cigarettes and they got addicted. And then it wasn't until like 20, 30 years later that they started to tell people it actually causes cancer. But it's still cool to smoke cigarettes. Matter of fact, there was even a brand of cigarettes called Cool. Prabhupada used to comment, he said, How can it make you cool? In any case, people, they don't know what the goal of life is or how to achieve it, but even the simple people in India, still, because of the previous culture, they still have some idea, at least the majority of people, who are not, especially those who don't have internet connections. Those who don't, of course, everyone has a movie. In every village, there's a movie. The movies used to be devotional. Now they're all horrible movies. But any case, if you don't have an internet connection, your brain can't get scrambled the whole day. Only on the weekends. So we worship Krishna by his intelligence. This Bhagavad Gita is all about two things: the eternality of the soul and Krishna. That's all. And either one of them will purify our intelligence, hearing about them. And devotional service, it's called Buddhi Yoga because it's a way of using our intelligence to connect with Krishna. And by connecting our intelligence with Krishna, it becomes purified. Matter of fact, by connecting our intelligence with Krishna, the mind becomes connected with Krishna. When the mind is connected with Krishna, then when the mind is purified, and, well, when the intelligence connects the soul with Krishna, then the intelligence, the mind, the senses, they all become purified, and our ego disappears, false ego. And gradually our real ego awakens. So Bhagavad Gita is simply meant to encourage us ultimately to chant Hare Krishna. If at the end of Bhagavad Gita one doesn't chant Hare Krishna, then one should read it again. And after chanting Hare Krishna, then one should read Bhagavad Gita, so one should learn, one can learn how to chant Hare Krishna without any offense, in full consciousness of Krishna, as Krishna describes himself in the Bhagavad Gita. In any case, if we go and we explain this science to others, then we'll hear it ourselves. So that's the advantage. Now we become an instrument for Krishna, and Krishna tells others about the science, and so we can listen to Krishna telling others about the science. And when we see how intelligent we think we are, which is actually just Krishna's intelligence, then we become convinced that it must be true because I said it. Or if we don't, now generally people like to listen to themselves. But even if we understand as Krishna is speaking, still if we listen, we'll find out how intelligent Krishna is. How Krishna can perfectly give us the intelligence, how to present Krishna consciousness to others to give them intelligence. And when we see other people have intelligence and they apply it, then we become encouraged that maybe we should apply it too. If by our preaching other people actually take up the process of devotional service, then we should think, well, if they're taking it up, why shouldn't I do it too? Because I told them to do it and they're doing it. So maybe I should do it also and see what it's like. In any case, in the process of preaching to others, sometimes Krishna will give us if people have a desire to know, then Krishna might empower us so we can give them something to know, and that way we learn something. It's not that we know everything, and therefore we're telling everyone what Krishna is all about, but sometimes when someone wants to know what Krishna is about, and then we have the opportunity to explain it to them, when we learn about who Krishna is like also. Because Krishna empowers us to tell others, so we also hear, and we become enlightened by hearing our own, what we think is our preaching, which is actually just being an instrument for Krishna. In any case, that's Krishna's mission. He comes and he talks about himself. He talks about his devotees. He displays his pastimes, all to convince everyone in this universe to take up the process of devotional service. So anyone who acts as his instrument, the soul who surrenders and allows Krishna to manifest his pastime of enlightening the conditioned souls, they become very dear to Krishna. Therefore, we should give everyone the opportunity to not only hear about Krishna, but also tell others about Krishna. It's not that only one person knows about Krishna. Anyone who hears, reads Bhagavad Gita, even one time, will know so much about Krishna. And we should tell others when we have the opportunity. Therefore, Prabhupada arranged these classes so that someone has an opportunity to tell others about Krishna. Otherwise, during the day, we meet each other. How many times did you stop someone in the hall and say, did you read this verse in Bhagavad Gita? Did you hear about Krishna herding past cows in the pastures today? What happened to him? So these classes are important because if we have a formal sadhana in the morning and the evening, then we're naturally, this is what we know we're supposed to talk about Krishna. Could you imagine if I gave a class about the Beatles or something? It would be out of place, I hope. But if we talk about Krishna, everyone thinks, well, that's what's supposed to go on here. That's why we come here, to hear about Krishna. And Krishna will give us some intelligence if we read the Bhagavad Gita. It's very systematic. Krishna is the supreme, most desirable. If we hear about him, then we know how to engage our energies in his service. And if we do that consistently with enthusiasm, then he gives us intelligence. And that intelligence is such that we can make progress in coming back to him, becoming conscious of him. And when he sees we're passing the tests and trying to the best we can to do that, then he reveals himself in our heart and all of the misconceptions and misgivings and misunderstandings go away, and then we become a perfect instrument for Krishna. And then Krishna takes over and our life becomes perfect, sublime, completely under Krishna's protection. And everything we need is supplied, and everything we don't need is taken away. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? What's that? We have What's that?
Zdaj bi podelila neko lepo stvar danes, kako moje vnukinje triletne delijo Krišno v vrtcu.
I want to share with you about how my twins, grandchildren, how they share Krishna consciousness in kindergarten.
Kindergarten? They're in kindergarten, they're sharing Krishna consciousness. Well, that's good. It's a nice kindergarten.
Today, my daughter called me, and she said, you know, teacher called me, and she said, today we talked about autumn.
Kako je listje, različne barve.
How leaves are different colors.
Je rekla učiteljica, to je prišla botra jesen in je pobarvala.
And the teacher said, godmother came and she painted with these colors. These leaves she painted with these colors.
Ena dvojčica pa ostane pa pravi, ne, to ni botra jesen, to je Krišna narisal.
And one of the twins, she stood up and she said, no, this was not
godmother.
Yeah, this was Krishna painted leaves. And the other twin said, and gopis also. And then teacher called my daughter to home, and the teacher said it was embarrassing situation.
Embarrassing.
And father of the twins said,
Lavi svoji ženi, moji hčerki, pravi, moramo se predati tašči.
He said to my daughter, he said, well, we have to surrender to my stepfather, to my stepmother and Krishna.
Your stepmother?
Grandmother.
Yeah, babushka.
Mother-in-law.
Devushka and babushka.
They were preaching.
Babka. Good. Anyone else like to share something? Anyone else have twins? So what did you understand from this? Toshan Krishna, what did you understand from this talk? No, from this lesson. From the talk, what talk I gave. Do we have a microphone here?
You must understand Krishna is the supreme. and if you approach Kapoor and if you love him, then he will show himself in our heart and give us intelligence to see him.
And serve him.
And serve him, yes.
Yes.
And
good.
To know how to please him, to give us intelligence, to know how to serve him, to please him.
Good. Tama? Would you like to say something?
Dhamma. Hare Krishna. Yes, I heard on the beginning that if we pass the knowledge, then the knowledge somehow gets to us.
Mystical.
Yeah.
Even though it's a secret.
And also you mentioned Arjuna, and I want to ask, did Arjuna pass the knowledge to somebody else?
To us.
I don't know how.
Through the Bhagavad Gita.
But he's not in parampara.
Yes, he is.
Please.
He heard it from Krishna.
Yeah, no, we heard it from Krishna. But
Krishna is in parampara.
To who he passed on, because he left soon after Krishna.
Well, Vyasadeva heard. He was sitting there.
And Sanjaya heard.
And Sanjaya, Vyasadeva heard.
They are not in this line, as far as I know.
Vyasadeva is in the line.
Vyasadeva is
in the line. And we're in the line. The line is, just like in a tree, if you have many leaves, each one of the leaves, if they taste the same, they must be in the same line as the tree. Mm. So certainly Arjuna's, he didn't have to pass the knowledge on in terms of, of course he did, he remembered, I'm sure he told his brothers about it. I mean, he didn't keep it all a secret. He already had all the knowledge, by the way, even before the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. He was a pure devotee. He's a Nitya Siddha, a devotee of Krishna, constantly engaged in his pastimes. So they have the knowledge, but Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna for our benefit. As far as, you know, the simple succession, it's the same knowledge being passed down since time immemorial by all the pure devotees. They don't specifically have to preach. I mean, I'm sure Krishna told his brothers that Krishna is God, and they all knew that anyhow. So they're already perfect. They don't have to hear Bhagavad Gita to understand Krishna is God or to love him, as they're spontaneous lovers of Krishna. It's like going to the spiritual world, setting up a school of the Bhagavad Gita. It's not necessary. They're all pure devotees of Krishna. It's for us.
Yes, I understand. I was just thinking how this was passed on.
Well, it's passed on because Sri Vyasadeva, who's the spiritual master Sanjaya, was also hearing. And he wrote Bhagavad Gita, and he put it in the Mahabharata for us to hear. Otherwise, if it wasn't in the Mahabharata, we probably wouldn't have heard it.
Yes, I'm watching Mahabharata, that's why.
Oh, Vyasadeva was also Sanjaya's Vyasadeva's student. And so when Sanjaya was visioning the battlefield, Vyasadeva was also conscious of what was going on. He heard the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Bala Grantaraj Bhagavad Gita Kijai.